The Bible has a lot to say about money and possessions, but there are some things it definitely doesn't say. Hi, I'm Rob West. Unfortunately, the lies people believe about money can really lead them astray. Today, we'll expose five of those unbiblical beliefs, and then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. And by the way, you can call that number 24/7. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, let's get right into it. The first money lie is a big one because it pervades our society. It's the belief that money is an I win, you lose game. If one person has more money, someone else will suffer with less. This assumption sees money as a zero-sum game. The more I have, the less you get, and so on. While this certainly is true in some cases, the main problem with this worldview is that it completely ignores the character and power of God. It also leads people into living with a scarcity mindset driven by anxiety and fear. We know from Scripture that our God is a generous Father, owner of the cattle on a thousand hills in Psalm 50. He isn't limited by our finite resources. Look at Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Not only did Jesus feed 5,000 people with just five loaves and two fish, but there was also 12 baskets of leftovers. God is in the business of abundance, not scarcity. A second toxic belief about money flows out of the first. The world says there's never enough, so building wealth must be selfish and unbiblical. The reality is that God encourages us to build wealth, not to hoard, of course, but to accomplish great things in His kingdom. Proverbs 13:11 makes it clear that building wealth carefully is a part of godly stewardship. Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. The fact is, we can't share wealth we haven't created. With God's help, we can earn, save, and invest wisely to share what we have with those in need. Now, a third lie about money is just as dangerous as the first two. It says, more money equals more happiness. The truth is that as a believer in Christ, you already have everything you need to be joyful in Him. My friend Dave Ramsey put it very well. More money will not make you happier. It will only make you more of what you already are. Ecclesiastes 5:10 confirms this when it says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless." Sadly, the lie that money leads to contentment, fulfillment, or happiness is prevalent today. But Paul reveals the godly mindset in Philippians 4. I have learned the secret of being content in any situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. This brings us to our fourth unbiblical money belief, one that's common among churchgoers everywhere. 10% of what I earn belongs to God. The truth is that 100% of your money, possessions, and very self belong to God. While the subject of the tithe is a matter of debate among Christians today, what matters most is the heart behind it. The mindset that says 10% is God's and the rest is mine is dangerous because it assumes that what we have and what we earn belongs to us in the first place. It turns our generosity into a matter of pride. We think the more I give, the better Christian I am. However, when we see things in their proper perspective, we understand that God owns it all, and our living and giving become a humble response to His generosity. Deuteronomy 10:14 declares, "Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that's in it." Knowing this, we can respond in obedience to the Lord and service to others, advancing God's kingdom on earth. We can pray the way David did when his people gathered to build the temple in Jerusalem. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Now, the final lie is the assumption that if I give more money, God will give me more money. Does God bless obedience and faithfulness? Of course, but you can't manipulate the Lord by giving in order to get. God's blessings also come in many forms, not just financial. His blessings include wisdom, opportunity, deeper relationships, discernment, peace, and more. Worldly lies about money and possessions are everywhere in our culture, even in the church. And one way to avoid the pitfalls of believing these toxic beliefs is to study God's word faithfully. The more you know about God's ways, the more equipped you'll be to handle his resources wisely. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
In 1735, John and Charles Wesley set sail for the American colonies. They were sent as missionaries, but as a result of the trip, John Wesley realized he was not born again. He was a sinner with no Savior. This began a restless fight in his soul that ended with him professing faith in Christ. The words of Ephesians 3 became his reality. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. His brother Charles later wrote, "Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, should die for me?" Grow in your walk with Christ through Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Today's Issues is American Family Radio's flagship program featuring AFA President Tim Wildman.
They're going to deny this till the Lord comes back.
Right. And other staff and friends of the American Family Association.
Did they leak this? Was it intentional? Was it an accident? We want more answers.
It's a part of history. You know, we need to know.
Today's Issues, with the help of American Family News, making sense of the issues of the day. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got some lines open. We'd love to take your calls today. The number to call, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. We'll look forward to hearing what is on your mind in your financial life today and helping you process that through the lens of Scripture. Also, we're looking forward to hearing from Bob Dahl today. Bob is our resident market guy. He weighs in each Monday with his market commentary. And obviously, a lot on our minds in the markets today is the strength of the, across the board, the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, both higher today. The Dow Jones up nearly 1% to start, 400 points. That's continuing this incredible momentum that we saw on the heels of the election. We're poised for the first close above 44,000 on the on top of this Trump enthusiasm if these gains hold through the end of the day. But Bob will tell us what we can expect moving forward and how the Trump victory, as well as the what looks like will be the House, certainly the Senate, on top of the presidency will affect his agenda related to the economy and what that might mean for not only the U.S. economy, but the broader economy around the world and our markets. That's straight ahead with Bob Dahl in our last segment today. In the meantime, if you have questions today, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. In the news today, stocks obviously continuing their upward climb. And, you know, as we look at what's happening in the markets, we have to recognize that because of this upward climb, there is a real opportunity for us to consider year-end giving related to appreciated assets, notably stocks. You're likely sitting on a pretty significant increase in your portfolios. Now, inside those retirement accounts, especially when you're in the working years, you probably want to leave those alone. But when you're in that retirement season, looking at a qualified charitable distribution out of your IRA, or certainly if you have taxable accounts, this is a great opportunity for you to look at appreciated stocks that you could give directly to ministry or charity before you sell them. That's going to allow you to miss the capital gains tax that comes along with that. So don't miss the opportunity to do some giving here at year end. And the team at AFA Foundation would love to talk to you about charitable gift annuities. They'd love to talk to you about appreciated stock gifts and a host of other opportunities. AFAFoundation.net is where you go to learn more. All right, we're ready to dive in today to your calls. Four lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's go to Florida. Hi, Pam. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, my name is Pam, and I'm calling about I have I co-signed a loan with my daughter-in-law for school through Sallie Mae, and she has stopped paying for it. So I realize I'm responsible for it, and I've been trying to do some of that. But now she's gone into a debt collection or debt consolidation. So in order for me to get off of it, they want me to sign the debt collection, sign an agreement that, you know, they I don't want to participate in it, which I don't. But then whenever I was reading the contract, it has a lot of stuff as far as saying that I'm going to I could possibly be sued still and all kinds of other things. So I just wanted to get your opinion on what I should do.
Yeah. Well, this is challenging, Pam. And, you know, it's a difficult situation just because we, you know, when folks do these things, it's often to help, you know, their kids get through college and be able to get the loans they need. And in those cases, it's why we discourage loans. And certainly, I think the Bible is pretty clear about co-signing and the dangers there, but that's kind of behind us now. How do we move forward in a way that both protects the relationship and protects you financially as well? What is she saying about it? I mean, how is your relationship with your daughter, and what are her intentions with respect to this debt moving forward?
Well, she's actually my ex-daughter-in-law. So we did this about 6 or 7 years ago, and she had been paying constantly until my son and her divorced. And then the way I understand it, she was not paying it so that she could get a debt consolidation loan, I believe. So I'm not real sure.
Okay.
It's an estranged situation as far as her and I, which is sad, but I'm still responsible. I know that. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah, that really is difficult. Well, a few things. I mean, you know, you can ask for a cosigner release. The lender is just not likely to grant it. Now, I know you said you've had conversations about what it would take to get you off, but you know, the primary signer would have to make on-time payments for 12 to 24 months before it would even be considered. And you know, the original signer would also need a pretty strong credit score. It sounds like none of that is possible. You know, ideally, if you had a good relationship, she could try to go out and refinance this on her own. She's not going to have any incentive to do that. So unfortunately, you know, this is ultimately a legal matter. And as you said, you've read the fine print, but when you're a co-signer, you are equally and have a shared responsibility to pay this back. And if you don't, the consequences of that, both in terms of damage to your credit report, as well as any legal action that they take to pursue payment through a judgment or otherwise, are going to go to both parties. And that's why they get you to co-sign in the first place, because there's just more people they can go after to perform on the payment if they get into a situation like they're in now, where the person that was paying it is no longer doing it. So unfortunately, it leaves very few options at this point. I mean, one would be to, you know, go refinance the loan together. It sounds like that would be difficult between the two of you. This is a private loan, is that right, or is it federal?
It's federal. It's Sallie Mae.
Okay. All right.
But what I'm really concerned about is I can get off of it as far as with this debt consolidation, and I'm going to, you know, they're going to take my name off of it, so they say. But then, like I said, it says on there that I can be sued for the remainder of the balance. I guess whatever they get, you know, I know they're going to bring it down as far as paying it off for her. But then I'm just really confused with it.
Yeah.
I have to sign it or refuse it. If I refuse it, then that's going to take it away from her debt consolidation, I guess. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But I know she's not going to pay it if I, you know, either way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so the government doesn't offer any refinancing. It does offer consolidation, which just helps you maintain your government benefits, but merge it all into one loan. And then your rate is the aggregate. So if you're talking about consolidating it with private loans outside of the federal loan program, that would be something entirely different. And I don't understand how she'd be able to do that without you, because I imagine her credit is poor, and, you know, her being able to qualify to get somebody else to pay off the Sallie Mae loans to consolidate it in a new loan, I would just imagine would be very difficult, if not impossible, for her to do. So that's confusing me a bit, just in terms of what option you're even pursuing. Do you know who it is that you're talking to about this consolidation option?
Yeah, it's Freedom Debt Consolidation.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I mean, with this being, I would be really skeptical about that, just given that this is a federal loan program and there are no consolidation options other than paying it off with a new loan. So unfortunately, I think the next step is just to decide whether you're willing to pick this up and carry it through to preserve your credit and avoid a judgment. Hang on the line. We'll finish off the air. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes. I'd like to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. AFR.net, any podcast platform, or at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, my book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now available on Audible. So come join us at Sandy Rios 24/7, and remember, God's Velvet Hammer, available at Audible.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training or cultural transformation. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7. For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Michigan. Paul, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
How you doing? Okay, I've got a question. My brother-in-law has been staying with us since he got into a car or hit and run, actually. He's hit struck by a driver in January, and he does have mental disabilities, schizophrenia, diagnosed. He's on Social Security disability for it. But anyways, it's a little premature, but I just wanted to get some ideas. I have no experience in investing or anything like that, and I just wanted to see what your thoughts would be on trying to help him out, make sure he makes the right investment. He's definitely going to win a settlement, and it could be multi-millions, and
okay.
I just make sure that we, we'll be staying together, be living with us, and just want to make sure that he ends it the right way. Invest the right way. Excuse me, that's kind of the right way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Paul, first of all, I really appreciate your call, and I'm delighted to hear that you're walking alongside your brother in this. This is something you need to be really careful about stewarding moving forward, but what an opportunity to put this aside in a way that would be accessible to him throughout his life, even beyond your life, given his medical situation and health status. I would highly recommend you find a financial advisor who can walk alongside you to help and assist with the management of the funds. Typically what you would want to do here is put together a special needs trust that would ensure that, if your brother-in-law or brother needs long-term care, that, a special needs trust can help to manage the funds while preserving eligibility for any government benefits that he would be entitled to. And then you would want to have an investment professional who's selecting the investments for the funds inside the special needs trust to be able to preserve the capital that he has, but also to grow it over time to offset the effects of inflation. And so I think finding that investment advisor, so you're not having to bear the responsibility of that. I mean, sounds like we're talking about what will likely be a really significant sum of money, and making sure that it's there, it's protected, it doesn't eliminate his ability to get government benefits, but also that it has the proper investment allocation that's appropriate for his age and health condition and risk tolerance is really key. And we would recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation, so you could search for a CKA there in Michigan, perhaps two or three, and interview them either on your own or with your brother if he's in a position to do that, and then select the advisor that you feel like is the best fit. But they'll walk you through a process just to look at what are his current and future needs, how much is coming in, what level of income do you need from this portfolio now and in the future. And, all of that will inform what will ultimately be an investment strategy, an investment policy, if you will, that is appropriate for his situation and his goals. Does that all make sense, though?
Total sense. And I'm a truck driver. I listen to you every morning and listen to AFR nonstop. That's all I listen to. I'm already planning. I talked with him about it, and he's okay with – we're Christians. And he's okay with doing a Kingdom Advisor. I just want to know if we should get two or three of them and talk to them here. We have to get closer to the settlement date and stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I think so. I think this is a great opportunity for you to go ahead and do those interviews and find the one that's the best fit so that once the settlement comes, all that's done, the paperwork's open, the account's ready to go, it drops right in, and you've kind of done all that pre-work so that, you know, that advisor's ready to dive in with the investment strategy at that time. I mean, the other option that will often be provided is what's called a structured settlement, which provides regular payments over time. And, you know, in some cases that can be beneficial for ongoing care needs, but I kind of like the option of you getting the full amount as long as it's, you know, going into a special needs trust, assuming that's available based on his situation. And, you know, if you have the proper management in place, the trustees selected, you know, even beyond your life, just in case you predecease him, you know, I like you all having access to that money, but the structured settlement option could be considered as well.
Okay. So on this special needs trust that you recommend putting the whole amount, I mean, as soon as they get the check cut or whatever, drop that in a special needs trust, you're thinking, to begin with?
Well, you could set aside a portion of the settlement and just a high yield savings to cover unexpected expenses or medical costs. The challenge is just depending upon whether or not he qualifies for any government assistance, you could quickly, even with that portion that's in emergency savings, go over the limits, and that could preclude him from having access to some of that government assistance. And so that's where balancing, you know, what's available outside of the special needs trust and then what's in it would be important with that advisor in conjunction with the attorney that would set up the trust. And those two professionals would work very closely together to make sure that it's structured properly and that the assets, you know, flow into the proper vehicles.
So would we get an attorney as well, or is that something that a Kingdom Advisor would set up?
Yeah, they would all have an estate attorney they work with, and you'd probably want to find one that specializes or at least has pretty significant familiarity with special needs trusts. And those two professionals would work in tandem together. So if you don't already have an estate attorney, you know, somebody that you have a relationship with that did your will or his will or anything like that, I would say probably select the advisor and then work with the advisor to select that attorney, because if they already have a good working relationship, that will be helpful just given how closely they'll have to work together in putting all this together.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Excellent.
One of my questions was, should I get more than just one, talk to just one Kingdom Advisor, talk to a multiple and get the best one with the best plan? I guess that's how we're going.
Well, it's not that necessarily one's better than the other. It's really just who do you have the best rapport with, and, you know, you and your brother, you know, who do you, as you sit down and talk through it, you know, there's going to be someone I think that you're going to connect with better than someone else in terms of how you fit into their overall client mix and just, you know, how you connect relationally as well as the fee structure and their background. I mean, you're going to want to consider all of those things, and I think someone will emerge that is probably the best option for you all. And having multiple options to consider is always a good thing. God bless you, Paul. Thanks for calling. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, frequent contributor on Fox Business and CNBC. He joins us each Monday with his market commentary. Bob will share his election observations and impacts. What is he expecting as investors generally view a Republican-controlled government as favorable for deregulation, more favorable on the potential for more mergers and acquisitions, proposed tax cuts? What does all of that mean for the market? And what about the federal deficits and even tariffs? How will that play into a Trump presidency moving forward? All of that has impact, of course, on the economy and in the markets. Bob will weigh in on all of that straight ahead. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions here, 800-525-7000. With your financial questions, feel free to call right now. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hi, Len. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Appreciate your call.
I've been hearing a lot of talk lately about going to the digital dollar and how they will tap our IRAs and whatnot. And I'm asking you, or want to get your opinion on if silver and gold's the way to go, and if it is, who would you recommend us to go to do that?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question. It's something that's been hotly debated, and I have a lot of concerns over a potential central bank digital currency, which is what it would be, a currency issued by government, and in our case, by our central bank. This has obviously been not only researched, but implemented in other parts of the world. The challenge is, you know, I just feel like we're a long way before a digital dollar would ever become a reality. First of all, it would have to be approved by Congress, which is sharply divided on many important issues these days. What's being discussed is, I'm not saying we couldn't get there, but what's being discussed is, any kind of CBDC would not replace the dollar, but would only supplement it. But I think one of the keys here is, on the heels of the election, is that Donald Trump has expressed a firm opposition to the idea of a central bank digital currency here in the U.S. He's vowed, and I quote, he said, "I will never allow," in quote, "the creation of a CBDC." He described it as a dangerous threat to freedom. He argues that it would give the federal government too much control and a loss of privacy. He's been influenced on this by Vivek Ramaswamy. He credited Vivek as influencing his view on this issue, and Ramaswamy has clearly been a critical of CBDCs. So I just think, given the president-elect's position on this, not to mention how many in Congress have been very staunch We've seen proponents, but we've had many that have been very negative on it. And then we've even had some states get out ahead of this, like the state of Florida, and went ahead and put this in their uniform commercial code that a CBDC would not comply and therefore couldn't be used. So I think given all of that backdrop, Len, it's just not something we're going to see. If we ever see it, it's going to be well down the road. So as a result, I would limit, although I like precious metals, I would limit it to no more than 10% of your investable assets. Now, ultimately, you're the steward, so you're going to have to make that call, but that would just be, you know, kind of the position I would take. We had seen some record highs in gold. We've seen a sell-off since President Trump's victory, largely because, you know, that's really projecting the growth play in the United States economy because of his economic policies. And gold is coming down, and I think will likely continue to, because that's typically the fear trade around a poor economy or a falling dollar. And the dollar's been strengthening because of President Trump's economic policies. I think the other piece of this is when you look at gold, it doesn't have any income. It also tends to be more volatile over time. And so I think for that reason, a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio with some allocation of gold, but not a highly concentrated position, is the right one, at least in my view. But give me your thoughts on all that.
Well, I was trying to figure out how they can just snap a switch and we go into the digital, but you know, I'm not on that stuff. So like I said, I've seen a lot of people mentioning it and stuff, and it kind of got me kind of nervous about that, and especially this election time, because they had out there that, you know, after the election or election time, that things are going to explode and we're going to be in the chaos and all this other stuff, and it's like this isn't good. And then I got to stop and thinking, like I said, how can they do this overnight?
Bottom line here, Len, is they can't. Yeah, and so you've got a lot of reason, I think, to be encouraged. It would take Congress. Congress is going to be divided on this. There's no way that's going to move forward. Number two, you've now got a president-elect that's very staunchly against it. So I don't think this is something you have to think about. So I'd stay with more of a properly diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, some precious metals. I think that's going to be the better approach for you moving forward. Hey, we appreciate you being on the program today, sir. It's an important question, one we will certainly continue to track in the months and years ahead. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Jason. How can I help?
I've got a question about how credit ratings work to a certain degree. I follow mine pretty regularly with Credit Karma. And middle of last month, I went from a excellent score of 767, 763, depending upon the report, down to good and fair in the low 700s and 699. But there was no negative impact reported on anything on my report. I had a credit reduction or a balance reduction, a hard inquiry removed, and the name of one of the financial institutions changed. That was the only things reported, but yet I dropped significantly.
Hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, the challenge with the credit scoring system is the algorithm is, you know, not something you can dial into specifically. We just know the broad categories that determine your credit score. And it sounds like you've hit on, you know, all of them that could have been the most likely culprits for this, and it doesn't sound like any apply. The most significant is your payment history, so something like that would typically mean that a late payment has hit the account. I would go verify that, and you may want to pull all three reports because it may be on one and not the other. And so you'd want to do that at annualcreditreport.com. The second is the amount owed. And so even in the case of you paying off a balance in full every month, if that balance that's reported to the bureau at the end of the cycle before your payment hits is up above 30% of the limit, even if you're using budgeted items and paying it off, that could pull it down because you kind of tip over that 30% criteria that they look for, or at least the algorithm we're told is keying off of. Doesn't sound like anything changed with the length of your credit history. That would be the next biggest one. Your credit mix, which is, you know, do you have not only revolving accounts like a credit card, but installment accounts? if you paid off one of those loans, and so one of those credit types dropped off and your credit mix changed, that could be it. And then new credit, which would be hard inquiries, but you said not only have you not had any, you had one that was on there that's now gone away. So I think your next step is just to pull all three of those credit reports, make sure nothing jumps out at you as a red flag. And if not, then I would just wait it out, and I suspect it'll come back perhaps even by next month. I hope that helps, Jason. Thanks for your call. Back with Bob Dahl in the final segment after this. Stay with us.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord, and it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
Who will be in heaven? Will we know one another? And do people in heaven know what's happening here on earth? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress addresses these important questions about our eternal home. Join us as we continue the series, A Place Called Heaven, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In this segment, Bob Dahl joins us. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Well, big presidential election last week and huge implications for our economy. And Bob Dahl is joining us today to weigh in on all of it. Wow, Bob. I know some people saw that coming, but the momentum, the red wave, it was pretty significant, wasn't it?
It was. I think a lot of people saw it coming, but not to that degree. That is, the president winning, the president-elect winning the popular vote, every one of the swing states, and 53 seats in the Senate. That was at the more extreme end of people's expectations.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Bob, if in fact the House ends up going to Republican control, and we have a Republican president, Republican controlled Senate and House. I know you said, the market may not react quite as positively to that scenario just because it moves us toward the extremes, regardless of which political party is in power, so to speak. But what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so in the short run, it's a positive. The path of least resistance is higher. The impact means higher probability of some deregulation, higher probability of tax cuts, and that's an earnings tailwind, and the market can't help but like that. The problem longer term is how do we deal with the fact that if there's a little more inflation, we're going to get less Fed cutting. Inflation may have bottomed and turn around and go back up. What about the uncertainties around the tariffs and the issue we've been complaining about all year long? Valuations are pretty high. So green for now, Rob, but I think 25 is going to be a little tougher.
Yeah. What about just growth prospects, Bob? I mean, President Trump obviously is poised to step in on day one. He understands the system. He's got his team in place. It seems like he's, already making some of those selections. I mean, they're going to be moving quickly. And, you know, as we've talked about, a lot of what he has said about his economic policy is pro-growth. And so how does that then bode for the U.S. economy in terms of GDP and your estimation over the next decade?
All good in the sense that, back to what we said, the victory for the Republicans is better than expected. Therefore, the things I mentioned are all growth positive. That is, higher probability of tax cuts, of deregulation. That's the earnings tailwind that I speak of. So that's all good news. A little less good news for the bond market. And we still, again, to complain, have to deal with valuation. I'm looking at my screen as we speak. The PE on the stock market trailing earnings is 28 times earnings. That's historically very high.
Yeah, no question about it. Bob, gold is selling off. I mean, nothing significant, but is that signaling that in a stronger economy, gold, you know, perhaps has reached a near-term high and will begin to come down?
Well, there's no question gold has been very strong. So this is a little of, I guess, buy on the rumor, sell on the news. I don't think gold's finished going up. If this means that is everything that's happened politically, a little more inflation, that's generally good for gold. Now, people might be thinking farther out and saying foreign policy is likely to change significantly, and the hot spots around the world, while they're not going to go away, they could be calmed a fair amount as President Trump takes a different tack than the Biden administration has on the Middle East, on Ukraine, et cetera.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, as we just look at how this might trickle across the rest of the world, what are the implications of this for the global economy?
Well, it's interesting. I'd say, first of all, that the pattern in elections this year has been to kick out the incumbent party. That's happened with unbelievable focus in this year. Two, a pro-growth agenda has largely been on voters' minds, and so we've seen a move in that direction. We hope that catches on. It's certainly, as we've already discussed, positive for the U.S., but Europe is struggling. China is struggling. Japan is struggling. So whether this all catches around the world is, I think, yet to be seen.
Yeah. Bob, when it comes to fossil fuels, obviously there's going to be profound implications for the energy sector. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, traditional energy, fossil fuels, oil, natural gas. And I would add to that list nuclear, I think, will make a comeback. It's a whole lot safer. It is a very efficient fuel. And I think alternatives, new energy sources, funding of that for the national government is all going to take a step down or two, and it'll be back to oil and gas.
Yeah. Bob, what about the cryptos? Obviously, President Trump, in this latest election cycle has been pro-crypto, certainly not issued by a central bank, but with a private crypto. Do you think that then brings this in for at least maybe that speculative portion of a portfolio, at a very small percentage?
Absolutely. It's certainly been the trend for this year anyway. President-elect Trump has certainly spoken positively toward cryptocurrency. My view is the technology is for real. We still need the government to weigh in on exactly how they're going to monitor it, oversee it, regulate it, whatever the words are. But this is a pro-risk election result, and crypto fits right into that.
All right. Let's talk about budget deficits and the growing national debt. Obviously, a big headline.
Oh, do you have to go there?
I saw Don Jr.'s daughter calling Elon Uncle Elon over the weekend on social media. So it sounds like he's quickly become part of the family. What do you think is the likelihood of getting some real significant movement just in terms of slashing government spending?
There'll certainly be an attempt at it. I think there'll be some results. Look, it's a problem that you and I have talked about many times that continues to get worse, and the longer we wait to tackle it, the harder it's going to be, and the more significant cuts will have to be made. So I applaud them for moving that in that direction. I mean, you've heard Elon Musk throw out a number of $2 trillion of cuts. That would be amazing and awesome. Look, you know, it's not a fine tooth. It's not a scalpel you're going to see here. You're going to see heavy lifting proposed. Whether it happens, time will tell. But with an all-Republican administration, there's a shot that some things get done finally and needed.
Bob, let's finish today with the Federal Reserve. Obviously, Fed Chairman Powell was, didn't have a whole lot to say, but he said, if President Trump asked me to step down, I would not. Sounds like he's got a shot across the bow there on stay out of my lane. But what are your thoughts just on the interplay between the two?
Yeah, there's going to be noise back and forth. Powell said it correctly. Legally, the president cannot remove the chair of the Fed, even though, ironically, he was nominated by President Trump in his first term. It's almost sure he won't be reappointed, and there'll be a lot of noise in between. Look, it's easy for the side that is the executive to pick on monetary policy. I would say, with all due respect, President Trump, get the fiscal house in order, then we'll worry about the monetary side.
Yeah. When does his term end? Do you know?
Yes, in 26.
Okay. Yeah. So it would be
he's going to be around for a little while.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Bob. Well, fascinating. And we continue. I mean, the fact that we could close potentially above Dow 44,000 today is just pretty mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is amazing. And S&P 6,000, it's crazy.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, we appreciate your time, as always.
All the best. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. You can sign up for his weekly commentary, Dahl's Deliberations, crossmarkglobal.com. All right. To Texas, Lalu, thank you for calling. How can I help?
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for taking my call. I want to find out about IUL, Index Universal Life. Somebody had pitched this product to me, life insurance. And, you know, it sounded very interesting. I feel it's a little bit on the high side, how much I got to pay. I just felt I should talk to you and see what you think about it.
Well, I appreciate that. Tell me a little bit about your situation and how you're seeing this as a part of your overall investment and financial planning strategy.
Okay, I'm almost done. I've got a credit card debt of about $17,000 I'm trying to pay down on. Done with my student loan. I got a house that I'm paying mortgage on. I feel like I have some extra money, and so I'm thinking insurance. And this became pretty interesting because according to the guy who pitched to me, you can also withdraw out of it at some point, unlike your regular life insurance that you can't access the fund. So I was like, okay, so if I put some money here and I can get back, maybe this is good. But
do you have a company-sponsored retirement plan available to you?
Yes, I've got that. I've got life insurance for my company as well.
What percent are you putting into your retirement plan?
For my retirement plan, I think it's just my 401k, basically. And my 401k, my company does 2-for-1.
Okay, got it. Yeah, so here's the thing. I mean, first of all, I'd focus before you did anything on getting that $17,000 paid to zero, because you're never going to get a guaranteed return anywhere close to what you're paying on that interest. So I wouldn't do anything until that's gone. But beyond that, I would boost the percent going into your 401k rather than an IUL. As long as you have the proper amount of coverage for life insurance, I would do that through term insurance. I'd do the rest of your savings through retirement plans. The challenge with IULs is they're complex. It caps your return, which is often those big up years are how you get those larger annualized returns over time. They also have higher fees. And so because of that, I wouldn't go the IUL route for the average person. I'd rather see you put that into a straight investment account. Thanks for your call, my friend. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, big thanks to my team today. Sandy, Jim, Devin, couldn't do it without them. If you'd like to support our work, we have a dollar-for-dollar match until the end of the year. faithfi.com/give, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.